Hi, Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. Week one in the NFL opens up tonight with the Eagles hosting the Cowboys. Kickoff is at 8:20. The Dolphins will open up their season on Sunday on the road in Indianapolis. And the Marlins, who were swept by the Nationals following 10-5, might be able to get a day off today before hosting the Phillies for a three-game series beginning tomorrow. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
For the second time, the Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
We're ready.
Are you ready for some football?
Yep, the National Football League is back tonight. The Dallas Cowboys travel to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles for Thursday night football. Big numbers, big numbers on NBC tonight. And of course, NBC second game's not bad Sunday night either. Ravens travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Hell, that's actually a better game. Probably right. MVP quarterbacks.
Say. Yeah.
Hell, now that I think about it, that might be the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, those are classics when those two get together, right?
Those
are the two quarterbacks, by the way, that can't get over the hump, the Mahomes hump. Right?
It's one guy keeps him out.
Yep.
One guy. How many guys did Brady do that to, I wonder, too?
Probably many.
A lot of guys.
Except for Eli Manning.
AFC. That's right. Eli's the only guy. You know, and those two Super Bowl wins that Eli had against the Patriots, one game, a heavy underdog, big underdog.
Yeah.
It's going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
And as well, it should.
Yeah. I beat you twice.
Yeah. It should put him, but
my brother might have taken some beatings from you, but I got you.
I'm guessing Brady did that to a lot, but Allen and Jackson are so good too, though, man. And those are both MVPs every year, right? Like, those guys are so good and can't get past.
So
the problem is they're always going to run into each other too, right? Now, like, that's the other issue. Those teams are probably going to meet in the playoffs.
So who wins? Who gets to a Super Bowl? Forget when. Who gets to the Super Bowl in the AFC first when it's not Kansas City? Is it going to be Buffalo? Yeah. Is it going to be Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore has a better roster. I don't think anyone
could it be Cincinnati,
that, right?
You look at all those quarterbacks.
You think Baltimore, I think, has a better roster than Buffalo, you would say, right?
Yes. All day, all night.
Yep.
Better in a lot of places. They got that team stacked on both sides of the football.
Well, they have better receivers. They have better running game, obviously. I mean, that Derrick Henry is special.
Guys, yes, still.
Has not slowed down.
No. They got some great players
their
on defense.
Yeah, their defense is really good. But
really, really
Buffalo
good
Buffalo always
defense.
Finds a way, too. But
yeah. And playing in Buffalo is not easy. We haven't had a great track record there either.
So I've heard.
Occasionally close, some uglies up there. We've seen a little bit of everything. Perfect quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Had that. Both those guys did that. They both had a perfect quarterback rating against us. Lamar's had one against us. Wait a second. Lamar might have had two against us.
Lamar had one. That was the tank year, wasn't it?
No, but he had another one on that game. Didn't he have a perfect QB rating the night in that big game late in the year, a couple years ago, we went up there. We're playing for the best record in AFC.
Yeah, and he torched us.
And his guys were – it was – weather sucked, and his guys were making catches all over the field. One-handed, it was just
– yeah. Well, he's got a monster arm, too. I know people don't seem to give him a lot of credit for his throwing, but
– I think if
Lamar's got a big arm.
If they don't know that Lamar has a really good arm, then
– yeah.
That's very sad. That they wouldn't notice. He is a great runner, though. Don't get me wrong.
But those two are so fun to watch, and they go against each other because they both run. They both have monster arms.
And Eagle will be involved in week one
when
they got to run. Yeah, they
– Someone asked, does Joe still want to have Josh Allen's baby?
No, but he's damn good.
Yeah, well, he got married in the offseason.
He did.
So
he's
official.
Off
the market for you, Joe.
Yeah,
sorry.
He is – I know when I started that, a lot of you disappeared, though, that were on me for talking about how good Josh Allen was all the time. And I noticed a lot of you have left. A lot of you realize, damn, He's pretty good.
He's really good. I don't think you need to defend him.
We had a chance. I'll just leave it at that. We had a chance.
There's always a chance.
We had a chance.
There's always a chance.
To get him.
Chance to get Lamar, too.
Well, he was up for everybody.
I mean.
By the way, that's what makes.
You want to do that this morning?
No, I don't. I don't want to do that. But that's part of what makes Baltimore one of the greatest organizations from Ozzie and now the new guy, although Ozzie is still a consultant there, down to the bottom of somebody going, they did something you don't see very often. They had Joe Flacco as their quarterback. Big Joe stands back there with the big arm. They can't run a lick. And they won a Super Bowl with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, Joe, time to move on. We don't feel it. And they bring in Lamar, and you're like, ooh, those guys are on different offense. They changed their offense for Lamar to really fit his game perfectly as a passer and as a runner. Look at his record in the regular season.
Yeah.
But he's, right?
Really,
missed
he's
a beat.
Really improved as a passer, though.
Yeah, yes. He's worked hard on that, and yes, you're right. Yes.
Throwing us to say that will be a fun game to watch, yes.
That's all. That's all. We're trying to hype it up a little bit. That's that'd be a good way to do it. So anyway, besides all of that and all of this stuff we have going on, we got some college football, and we're going to have Brett McMurphy join us here in this 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Brett about college football and the University of Miami, Notre Dame going forward, Florida State. Boy, another nice story. How good is Florida State now? How good's their confidence, by the way, to get that win after being so bad a year ago? One thing about college football, if you hit on the transfer portal, it speeds the process up so much. They did a breakdown yesterday in the paper the day before. It might have been Barry Jackson. Was it Woody? I don't know who wrote it. But it was talking about all the transfer portal players, starting with Carson Beck, and talking about all the guys that played well that they had just signed on the defensive side of the ball. And the center, by the way, new center, graded out higher than anybody. And then the one-handed catch from a guy you brought in through the transfer portal. So you start looking at all that stuff. And Florida State did it first year, went undefeated in the ACC. How about that? Went undefeated. Now, they were down to their third quarterback, and, of course, they didn't allow him to play. They should have, but did not allow him to play in the championship, in the playoffs. But now they're good again, and they hit on a lot of guys, starting at quarterback. By the way, the transfer portal quarterback's done really well. A lot of quarterbacks off to great starts. You're right. The Cal kid. Cal Berkeley kid.
Oh, you looked in there, huh?
I did. You got me looking. Right. I didn't even pay attention to my school. Talk about being a terrible fan.
You didn't put any money into his NIL? The quarterback?
No money.
But he is good, though. You checked.
But I will
it.
Tell you, if it makes you feel better, the Cal NIL people did call me.
Did they?
I just did not pick up the phone.
Oh. Why?
Man got to take care of his money right now.
Jeez, man.
Sorry, this is a bad
time. Very selfish.
Sorry, this is a bad time.
Very
it's greedy. Not a good time for me. Go Bears.
That's terrible. You don't even answer for these people.
Go Bears. It's bad. Sorry. Not good. The whole deal.
This poor guy's like, all right, he's got a list of the most prominent alumni, and you won't even answer the phone. He's got to call people like you and Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Probably a rough
I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers like probably that. Could give some money, right?
I'm sure if he wanted to.
You think he does?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I'm guessing he doesn't either.
He doesn't seem like a guy who gives money to anything or anyone. I don't know.
The only thing is that maybe he did. Ron Rivera is the general manager now at Cal. Mm-hmm. Better in charge of basically everything.
So you think Aaron might have the relationship to that?
I think if Ron made a direct call to me, I'd give him money. I couldn't say no
to
him.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it would be the same with
Aaron.
Yes, for a lot more money.
Usually, like when guys get that wealthy, they want to take care of their families and stuff, right? But he doesn't have to give any to his family, so maybe he is.
I got to tell you, today's not the day to do it, but I am convinced 100%, and I'm not alone, this woman does not exist.
This why? What happened with that? It's been very quiet.
So everybody just gave it up.
You own this theory, by the way. I want you to know that. The whole, like, that this Manti Te'o situation.
They think that he's going to come out and say he did some special ceremony with some girl that he's kind of been dating. That really doesn't, it's nothing legal about it. And the second part is that he's just messing with everybody and doesn't care.
There's no girl at all.
No girl at all. No girl. No girl whatsoever.
I love your theory. I mean, I think it's very intriguing.
Yeah. So anyway.
Someone said if Rivera calls, you'll send him some coins. Yeah. You send him a roll.
How many quarters? Yeah. How many quarters will you take? You know, Woody, I can't believe, like, I don't know where you're right. I don't know where the coins go. You know, when they give you change?
Yeah.
I don't usually give them the change because I'm embarrassed. I just give them
dollars
and tips.
Well, that's why I think people like to use credit cards, though, because they don't, you know, want to keep taking money and coins back and forth and put them in their pocket and hand them to people. And
you know what's so funny? I wrote myself a note when I go home today.
Uh-huh.
Ask my wife where's all the change going that I bring home every day.
Yeah. Maybe you guys do. Maybe you have a big piggy
bank. Maybe she's got something that she's working on.
Well, you know, they have those machines at Publix where you can dump all of your coins in and it counts them for you. And it's just like, I think it spits out cash.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to check into that.
So for the,
you think it's weird that I still do everything cash?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right.
There's a lot of places that don't accept it though.
No, I know. By the way, Dunkin' Donut does.
They're probably not thrilled about it.
And I see everybody else. They put their phone up there and it clicks. And
oh, the Apple
everything.
Pay action, yeah.
And not me. I go,
no,
here.
Not you. You're fighting it.
Keep everything.
You're
That's
fighting
fine.
It.
We're good. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Mike McDaniel joined us earlier. We're going to have Brett McMurphy, college football insider for On3 Sports, join us coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll have that for you. I do want to take a second this morning to tell you about Cliggy's. I love talking about Cliggy's carts, featuring Royal EV golf carts, the coolest golf carts in America today. If you are anywhere in South Florida and right now starting to look around for what I call the family golf cart to really enjoy yourself on a Friday night, grab a beverage, go around, especially in some of these communities like where I live in Davie, everybody's out in the golf cart. You want a nice one, though. I mean a nice one at a great price, by the way. They got them. Fully loaded. They're all electric, featuring 48 and 72 volt lithium battery options, designed and engineered to be a leader in quality and safety with aluminum frames. Aluminum frames, you don't have to worry about rust. Safety features, hey, safe against kids. I mean, they thought of everything when they put these Cliggy's golf carts together. Adjustable front seat in their 6-seat models, which is something no one else offers. They have 4-seaters. They're gorgeous. Fully loaded custom paint jobs, including colors of your choice, sound bars, and LED lighting. Are you kidding? Before you make a decision anywhere in South Florida, Dade, Broward, I don't care where you are, you got to go to the showroom and see Cliggy's carts. They're located next to Okeechobee Steakhouse on Okeechobee Boulevard in West Palm Beach. Call 877-CLIGGYS, K-L-I-G-G-Y-S, or visit CliggysCarts.com. Hey, man, I got to tell you, they're fantastic. Crazy Cliggy slashing price. He is crazy, by the way. Once you get a chance to meet this guy, slashing prices, taking a bunch of money off. Crazy Cliggy slashing the prices on all carts, highly discounted, with each buyer receiving a $200 gift certificate to the steakhouse. I can go on and on about Cliggy's carts. If you're in the market, check out Cliggy's carts. You'll love them.
It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. As Brett McMurphy, college football insider on 3 Sports, and always one of the best in the business for information with college football, always has been. He joins us this morning, and I had to have you on. You knew that after Miami took care of Notre Dame, and get your thoughts on, were you surprised on how physical Miami was with Notre Dame in that game?
No, Joe, I wasn't. And, you know, I made the trek down from Tampa and watched it in person. And it's kind of what I kind of expected with Miami. And I think I talked to you guys about it before the season. I thought that the offense would be different, obviously, with Cam no longer there, but with Carson Beck taking over. But I thought the defense would be much improved, and it really was, except for that busted play and the, you know, Notre Dame's last drive where they hit for 60-plus yards. Notre Dame only had one other play over 20 yards, which is kind of remarkable. And I think Miami did a good job of, trying to make C.J. Carr just drive the length of the field and try to win the game that way. And basically, he couldn't do that. And they shut down Notre Dame's running game. I mean, Jeremiah Love, one of the best in the country, he was a non-factor. And it was funny, I was talking to someone there about, Miami's offense, because it looked like Notre Dame didn't want to get beat deep either. They kept everything in front of them. And they mentioned, Carson had more dump offs in that Miami game than probably Cam Ward did the entire all of last season, because he was such a big play guy. It was either, such a risk or reward. But hey, it looks great. And man, I didn't even realize, I looked at Miami's schedule a little bit closer. Obviously, you guys know this, but this jumped out at me. Miami doesn't even leave the state until November 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, that is crazy. And then the road schedule, Florida State, obviously going to be tougher than they thought, but at SMU, and then, they end up at Pitt and Virginia Tech. So weather should not be a factor for Miami all year. And I think they can take advantage. I don't think this clinched the playoff berth for them by any means, but certainly it put them in a great position. I think a win at Florida State would go a long ways toward clinching an at-large berth. Again, you can't lose, a lot of games down the stretch, but if they can beat Florida State and get to 10-2, I don't see any way they're not in a college football playoff.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. By the way, I looked at Notre Dame's schedule. I don't think they lose another game unless Texas A&M beats them. And I don't know how good Texas A&M is, but I looked at the rest of them. USC, nobody's even talking about. I don't know how good they are. And Boise State, we saw how good they are. South Florida kicked the you-know-what out of them.
Yeah, so that's the challenge for Notre Dame. They're off this week, and then A&M comes to South Bend. That's a huge game for Notre Dame, because if they lose that game, like I just said, Miami at 10-2 is in. Notre Dame at 10-2, if you lose to Miami and A&M, you're not getting in, because you don't have any quality wins. Now, USC may get into the top 25 at some point. And you're right, Boise, that's not last year's Boise team. Their offense is horrific without Genty there. USF exposed the quarterback. So that's not a top 25 team. So Notre Dame – it's not fair to say somebody's eliminated from the playoffs after two games. But if Notre Dame loses to Miami and Texas A&M, Joe, I don't see anything left on the schedule other than potentially a ranked USC team that can really improve their strength of schedule. And I don't think that's going to be enough when you compare them with, teams in the power conferences that will have more top 25 games played.
Florida State. Boy, when you beat somebody like that, I get it's an upset. I didn't realize Florida State was going to be that much better. Did that surprise you on just how well they played, including running for 236 yards?
Yeah, it really did. It was a dominating performance. I mean, the Gus bus is back. Gus Malzahn, offensive coordinator at Florida State. He reunites with Mike Norvell. They're really close. And UCF fans are probably watching that game going, where was that offense last year at UCF when you were the head coach? But, and the most impressive thing, Joe, was they amassed over 200 yards rushing. Well, how many times that happened under the previous coach? Zero.
Wow.
Saban never gave up 200 yards rushing in any games since 2007. As impressive as Florida State was, this is a tough loss for Alabama fans. Any loss is a tough loss, but I think more to the point, everything's going to be compared to Saban. Whether that's fair or not is irrelevant. That's the reality of it. Since 2007, since Saban was there. Alabama was a 14-point favorite. Every time they were 14-point favorite, Saban was 129-2.
Wow.
So he only lost only lost two games that he should have won since 2007. Kalen DeBoer is 4-4, is a 14-point favorite. That's not covering the spread. That's just win or loss. And so that's really an issue. They've got UL and Monroe this week. They got Wisconsin, which is nothing special. And then they have an off week. Then they have Georgia. That is going to be a monumental game for Kalen DeBoer, because you've got an off week to prepare from Georgia. If that thing goes south, that's not going to look good. And even though the buyout's $70 million,
oh man,
do Alabama fans, do they start the blood drives right now to start raising money? I don't know, but they do something, because they're not going to put up with that.
No, that's a crazy one. Hey, so I got to ask you about the Arch Manning. You can be honest with me. Were you one of those at him as a first pick overall in the draft and the greatest quarterback to come out after in his third start? Because I got to tell you, some of your buddies at ESPN got a little carried away about not giving this guy a chance to grow a little bit.
Well, Paul Feinbaum, calling him the best quarterback since Tim Tebow was
he did
like criminal. Like, right. If you could press charges, you should.
That's a good point. Oh my God! And he's sitting there, and then he looks over at Tim Tebow to tell him how great he is, and I was like, oh my God, calm down. I know you're an SEC guy, but geez, calm the F down.
I said this from the outset. This summer, I said Arch Manning is not going to win the Heisman, and Texas is not going to win the national championship. And it's not a slam towards Texas or towards Arch Manning. It's just reality, and that's how it is. You have to go all the way back to 2004 with Matt Leinart, the last preseason Heisman Trophy favorite that won the Heisman. What happens when you're the preseason favorite? Everyone wants to knock you down. Everyone wants to nitpick you and do this thing. So Arch is not the one that's brought on all this attention. He's not out here doing TikToks and doing all this stuff. It's just people want to talk to him because they want people to click and watch their shows and all this other stuff. So yeah, Joe, I didn't think he was going to be the first pick. I didn't think he was going to win the Heisman. I don't think Texas is going to win the national title because, again, I follow history a lot. In 19 of the last 21 AP number one preseason teams did not win the national championship. And that's why I don't think Texas will do it either. I think Arch did okay, probably an average game at best. But he's also playing against probably one of the best defenses in the country. You know, they've got they've got some tomato cans coming the next couple of weeks. San Jose State Saturday. He'll put up some big numbers and everything.
Oh, you got that San Jose State. That's one everybody wants on their schedule. I got Kim Bocamper in here with me. So you're right about that, San Jose.
Slow down a little bit.
It's not your San Jose State when you guys are beating everybody. It's a new time. Hey, Brett, before I forget, too, I did want to bring this up. How good is this NIL stuff with Mike Gundy coming out and taking a shot at Oregon for the amount of money, calling it a $40 million payroll, give or take a million one way or the other. And Mike Gundy said, we're only spending seven. I thought there was kind of an unwritten rule that all the power schools weren't going to be doing this. And we're hearing more and more of this stuff come out.
Yeah, I actually talked to Mike this week. I don't know if you saw it also. He's got a cell phone commercial where he reenacts as I'm a man, I'm a 40 rant, which is pretty funny. But I mean, basically what he said is accurate. That's the reality of it, is that different schools have different resources. I mean, Texas has more money than anybody. That's a fact. So, and obviously Dan Lanning pushed back on that a little bit, which I'm an Oklahoma State guy, but I agree with Dan. He's like, look, if you don't want to spend the money or you don't have the money, you know, that's your choice. Each school has a choice. You can either spend and try to keep up with everyone, or you don't, and then you see what happens.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. Lane Kiffin kind of addressed this last year when I forgot which coach it was talking about what a great recruiting class he had. And Kiffin's like, you don't have a great recruiting class. You're spending more money than everyone else. That's why you're getting these players. So that's just how it is in college football right now. And look, I agree with Mike and I agree with Dan. You know, I don't think either one's wrong. That's just where we're at. Yes. And if you don't have the money, you're not going to be able to compete at the highest level. I mean, you can pull off an upset on a Saturday. It's just the other 103, 164 days a year that you're going to get your brains beat in.
That's right. Hey, before I let you go, I really enjoyed the Bill Belichick North Carolina game. I really did. I especially the last three quarters. There's just something about him. And I know he was a great NFL coach. I'll never take that away from him. But my God. And he looks miserable. He just looks miserable doing it too. Well, what'd you think about the game and Bill Belichick? Is his talent that bad? Because the coaching didn't look very good either.
Yeah, his talent's not very good. Yeah, it's probably not fair to, you know. And look, I was out there on Sunday. I was firing off tweets left and right. But yeah, it's probably not fair. But again, it's almost like the Arch Manning deal, where you know we have to, but certain networks have to build things up to make it such a huge deal. And so, you know, there's been obviously a lot of resentment and people push back on that. I sent out a tweet Monday night. This is a factual tweet. It's not a joke or anything. And I got almost 6 million people saw it. And all I said was, ironically, North Carolina backup quarterback Max Johnson is 24 years old, the same age as Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick. Now that's a fact. It's not a joke. I'm not making. Yeah, 6 million.
You're a bad guy, though. That's a bad. So you didn't get on TV as much after that first touchdown. We didn't get to see her as much, except for a little shot on the sideline for a second. Oh my God, that is classic, so, Brett. That's great stuff, man. That's very funny.
Hey, I got one more. And this is true too. Weird stat in the history of college football: Super Bowl champion coaches with 24-year-old girlfriends have never won any games as a college head coach. Enjoy the veal.
All right. Hey, Brett, thank you, man. Thanks for coming on today.
I'll be here all week.
All right. Guys. Thank you. Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider on 3Sports. All right. Hey, listen, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Miami Sports.
Well, at the end of the day, I feel like it's about the team, and I don't need a title to be able to lead. I'm going to continue to push the standard, you know, what Coach and these guys are pushing in the locker room. And I've always been a guy that led by example. So captain thing is great. But like I say, I'm going to continue to do the small things, man, which is work hard, show up each and every day and bust my tail for this team and try to win games.
All right, that's Tyreek Hill. We were all kind of all wondering after the six captains were chosen, and he wasn't one of them. And I said all the right things, Bo.
You can say anything you want.
The only problem he can have, and I said this morning, he needs a football, or he's gonna.
Yeah, he
should get it anyway. Yeah. He's number one receiver.
You know what? You know what I was saying about this. You know what Tyreek needs to be? Tyreek needs to be an attraction. Not a distraction. What he's been is a distraction on this. And last year, look, you know, you give him the money last year. And look, I hope he plays well. I really do hope he plays well. But, you know, from day one, opening day, the guy becomes a distraction to the team. You know, I mean, it's opening day, you're in Hard Rock Stadium's full. Everyone's just talking about Tyreek and what happened there. And then it goes along. And then every time you turn around, it's something. And then he walks out on the team. So, you know, to me, it's just I need to see him. You know, it's easy to say what he just said.
Right.
Well, okay.
You're on the show me program.
I'll take it as you said it. Okay. I'm going to trust you that you're going to see that. But I'm not going to trust until I see what you're talking about.
So
I don't know.
To your point,
it's not just him. You know, it's, you know, I think there's a lot of guys on this team that need to really, you know what, they to me, and this is probably the wrong verbiage, they need to repay Mike and this football team for the commitment they've made to them, right? We're gonna let you run the team. You guys are gonna be the, you know, you guys are gonna police the team. You're gonna do this, that. Okay, if you're gonna give that, if you're gonna get that, if you're gonna want that, then you got to play like, you know, you can't be the petulant kid in the playground,
yeah,
that's always, you know, shouting at somebody and then doesn't get anything done.
You know, Bo, it's so I said, all right, he said all the right things. It's great. The real test will be the four catch for 36 yards or four catch for 40 yards and maybe six targets where he is not the priority guy and it goes to the other side and everybody else gets the ball. Then we'll see how he handles everything.
Well, you know, everyone knows that. I mean, it's you know, like 2 years ago, everything was great, right? Everything was great.
Getting 12 a game.
Getting targets, making catches, you know, almost, getting that 2,000 yard mark was there for about three quarters of the season.
It was.
Right?
It was looking pretty good.
And then he kind of got dinged up a little bit. I went in Frankfurt, I think that's where he kind of got dinged up early, or maybe in Stuart. Anyway, look, I'd like to see that again. I think everyone would like to see that because if Tyreek plays the way he needs to play, Waddle's going to be much better too.
Yes.
It's
good for offense. We're going to score more points.
Yeah.
If he's really good, I think the 2,000 yards is a dream.
No,
I really
do. Yeah.
But hey, give me 1,500 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to see those guys 2,500 yards.
Between the two of them.
2,500 yards. Yeah, 2,500 yards.
Yeah, between the two of them.
I had to think about those numbers.
About 18 touchdowns, maybe 20 touchdowns between the two of them.
Damn, Bo.
Look, you know, what's it going to, you know.
Jeez, that's two Pro Bowl years.
Let me ask you this. How many touchdowns do you think it's going to take from your receiving core this year to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game? How many touchdowns would you expect out of those guys? If you're going to get – if that's where you want to be. Now, if you want to be a –
You're talking about the whole group?
If you want to sneak into the wild card again, then that's a different story.
Oh, I think, first of all, Tua playing 17 games. Yes. By the way, this is all always without saying
– No, yeah.
Tua 17 games.
I think everybody knows that's the unspoken thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so we don't have to always say
it. Let's just assume he's going to play that. And we'll see how the cards play out.
So 17 games, Tua needs to throw two touchdowns a game. He needs to be in the mid 30s for touchdowns.
And you got to have a four touchdown game every now and then.
Yes,
right.
Hey, by the way, the other part is we had Kyle Crabbs on. It was interesting. He hit on the schedule more than most people. So Joe, this schedule, they're gonna be favoring a lot of these games where everybody thinks they're gonna be so bad.
Yeah.
And he looked and, you know, he's throwing them all out there. And
look at the first four games. You know, I mean, you got, you know,
you believe the Jets and the Patriots at home, you got to win.
Well, look,
got to win those games.
You know, but what you do now, that's probably going to be the, you know, if you walk out of that thing, you know, 3-1, you go, okay, maybe we got a shot. You walk out of it 2-2, you go, oh, geez, you know.
No.
You go out of it 1-1, you know.
You need to go 3-1.
You're darn right. You darn right.
Well, two of them are AFC East opponents at home.
No, exactly. It's exactly.
You want to win those two games.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's got to get done.
By the way, they just need to get off to a good start, play well.
Look,
they need to chew up this Colts defense.
Yeah. But you know what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, you know, you get the, now it's okay. Here's, you know, all the newspapers. Come look at the New York papers. They're coming out with, and you know, they got the Dolphins sitting at the bottom of the pile.
Everybody. The power rankings.
Yeah.
Mike Florio, we have on tomorrow. What do you have? Is 29th, 30th in the league? Pete Prisco, you know Pete.
Yeah.
Pete was not a fan of CBS.
And they piled on with Tua when they do the quarterback power rankings, too. He's been towards the middle or the bottom.
Well, you know what? He's been incomplete. Incomplete because of the injuries and this and that. I mean, but look, when he played a full 17 games, he was pretty good. You know,
he is he has been able to play well against the teams he should play well against.
Yeah. And well,
on the
and
road later on in the year against really good teams, he is.
Yeah.
Like the team struggled a little bit.
So, so that's, you know, those, you know, all those comments, all those, wherever you rate Tua, whatever you talk about Tyreek, whatever you talk about the running game, whatever to talk about the secondary, you know, there, you know, you've got to shatter that thought that this team is a team that could win early, but late in the season, you know, you're just going to collapse. And so until you stop it, it's going to continue, you know, and then you can be the general manager, the coach, the players can be upset with everyone that's talking about it. Oh no, we're better than that. No, you're not. So who's you are what you are.
Who's right. You are what you are.
Yeah. And they have been what they are. And that's the dialogue that you're going to get until you change it.
Last year, Thanksgiving, last game, we go to Green Bay and everybody was saying the same thing. And sure enough, we played cold.
Yeah.
We played like the cold weather. We didn't tackle well.
No, I mean,
bad. It was just everything. And you're going, that's a knock on us right there. The Green Bay game.
Yeah. May have been the worst tackling all year. Yeah. And look, I'm trying to, you know, you're trying to say, it wasn't the cold. You know, I like after the game, I said, look, it wasn't the cold. It was just bad tackling, you know, and certainly the cold, you know, it affects you, but you know, you got to, you know, and the talk going in, like, oh no, we're not, you know, no, it's not that cold. We're not going to get wrapped up or bundled up. Well, they didn't. And then they didn't play very well.
Right. Wasn't good.
I don't know. It's just, I hate to, I want you more.
I feel
like I'm aggravated now.
Yeah, right.
And the team hasn't even played a game yet.
We don't want that.
Just because I'm so used to the expectations over the last quarter of a decade.
I know you've had what I've had here recently. The one guy I went to get, you got me. Thank you. I got signed up for colonoscopy.
Beautiful.
So I came out and a guy waiting for me and he wanted to talk about,
did you go get it?
No, not yet. I had to go through the
appointment. Okay.
I had to get through all stuff.
Okay, good.
All the medicine I'm on. And
yeah, good.
You and I are on the blood thinner thing and all that stuff. Hey, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Air around the clock, air conditioning, plumbing. They're up every day for you, 7 days a week, working with 135 trucks on the road, 7 days a week, and going 37, almost 38 years into business. They're around the clock, air conditioning and plumbing. I always had people go, you know, there's a lot to choose from. I see their trucks everywhere. What do you think, Joe? And well, let me just tell you this. I know one thing. They're about great service. There's a reason they have so many people, trained and certified technicians for the air conditioning side, licensed, experienced plumbers for the other side. They go 7 days a week. We have a warehouse full of air conditioning units. We have a warehouse full of water heaters, meaning that when you have a problem and it's not working and it's dead and it's never going to work again, same day installation is always the goal. Even if it takes one extra day, they're going to be there as fast as possible. Financing plans available for you as well. Family owned and operated. Not actually just getting bigger and better at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. It's Eric and Mike and Chippy and the rest of them over there, ready to take good care of you. The next time you have any kind of air conditioning or plumbing problem, when you call them, say, hey, Joe Rose. And by the way, if anybody goes, who's Joe Rose? You tell them, hey, I'm not dealing with you. And I won't deal with you again. I have an ego. 1-888-349-6922. Remember the name, Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
Sports lives